Hey, everybody, it's Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. In this day and age of such uncertainty, and we know that CBDC is being implemented right under our noses. Oh, it's coming in piecemeal, but we're going to wake up one day and it's going to be a fait accompli. Well, that's unless we wake up and we can actually stop it. But until then, you need to plan for the worst. Work for the best, but plan for the worst. And this is where Noble Gold comes in. If you have a retirement in the bank, they will take it. There'll come a day when these banks are faltering enough, and under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010, they're allowed to take it because you, as a lowly American serf, have been declared to be an unsecured creditor. So let Noble Gold save your nest egg while you still can. They'll take it out, put it under your control, and they will back it with gold. And it's kind of interesting because, see, the bankers have destroyed 85% of the worth of the dollar. Gold has held its value for 6,000 years. What's the better option here? And then with your bank account, they'll make similar decisions for you. So I think this is a no-thinking, no-brainer. And this is something you've got to do now, and it's not that expensive. Now, if you have nothing, this commercial is not for you. If you have something to protect, you owe it to you and your family to look into this. Let me send you a free information packet, DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And also, you can call them. If you really want to expedite this because of the crisis nature of the time we're in, you can call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them I told you to call. Now, the FTC wants you to know that they called. They want me to tell you that there are never any guarantees and past performance is not indicative of future performance. We understand that. We agree with the warning. But we should also have a large warning, too. Every time you walk into the bank and deposit money, or you do it electronically, you should get a warning. It says, danger, the bank can keep your money without notice. That's a fact. I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 5 years. I became a customer about a year after I started advertising because I saw the great work that they did. 877-646-5347. We have a good guest today. I think you might enjoy this. I'm interviewing myself. Yes, Dave Hodges unplugs Dave Hodges. And we're going to talk about a number of issues today. We're going to talk about, you name it. We're going to talk about it, but we're going to really start with Lahaina. And the situation in Lahaina has gone from bad to worse. And I just feel as a country, we haven't done enough. The mainstream media has totally withdrawn, except for trying to rescue the lost reputation of Oprah. Hey, I got to give Oprah good credit for being prepped. You know, I always say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Well, Oprah took that a step further. The day before the fire, she employed firemen to protect her property. Isn't that interesting? What an amazing lady. No wonder she's worth over $2 billion because she has the ability to see into the future. Wow, I'm just so impressed. When she and Rock did the PSA, public, we should call it PDA, public disservice announcement, I was horrified at their demeanor. They acted like they were raising money so they could afford to buy hors d'oeuvres at New Year's Eve party. They were jovial and, oh yeah, you got to do this. This was a horrible, horrible event. People died of smoke inhalation. We know the story of the parent that found the 15-year-old child huddled over their family dog, both dead. And you're joking. And there's no proof that I've ever seen that they actually put $10 million into this. And Tulsi Gabbard really nailed it on Joe Rogan. It'd take $5 billion to rebuild Lahaina. But let's go to the ice cream sucking, can't find my way out of the room, and I used to shower with my daughter, according to her diary that was sent to James O'Keefe, and he decided not to publish it, not because it was incredible, but he didn't want the FBI kicking in his door. And they did anyway, even though he turned it over to them. But that moral reprobate that sits in what I call the Trader-in-Chief's office now, where he's more loyal to China and Ukraine than he is to the United States, let's just look at what he did. Number one, he's not running the country. He might make some perfunctory decisions, but did you see the tape when he's walking to his vehicle and the reporter from Bloomberg said, Mr. President, do you have any comments on the rising death toll in Maui? Do you, Mr. President? Do you, Mr. President? And I've stopped this. Now, people were shocked because he said no comment. I think the public missed the point. Now, I have kind of a head start on this. I used to teach body language when I was teaching sociology. I was trained in it. It's part of my therapist training to help people. And I slowed that down and played it. His eyebrows go way up. He pulls back and lifts his head up. His eyes become partially dilated. That's the expression of someone who is shocked, caught by surprise. He, on the second day, did not even know Maui had happened. That's how insulated they keep the Trader-in-Chief. See, the deals he did with China and Burisma and Ukraine, he wouldn't be capable of doing that today. I don't think he could give tacit approval because he's so far gone. And I look at Biden and he didn't know. He didn't know. So what did his handlers allow him to do? They allowed him to provide $700 per family. One-time payment. And they stressed it was a one-time payment. And you know what's interesting about that is the resorts that FEMA stayed at, and that organization should be disbanded and their building taken down brick by brick. But that $700 wouldn't even have paid for a room that these FEMA people were vacationing in while the survivors agonized over lost family members and friends. This whole thing just stunk to high heaven. And I'm going to take the first part of our show and I'm going to review the events of Lahaina. And I'm going to lay it out for you in such a way that you will walk away seeing what a reprobate nation we are. We are no better with our leadership than Nazi Germany, Stalinist Russia, and Maoist China. I'm going to make this statement and then I'll proceed to prove it. Not only was the event pre-planned and murder was on the agenda, they and the ancillary figures from the police chief to the emergency management director to the man who ran the water, they all had a role to play. And that role was to deliberately drive up the death count. And people want to know, too, as we get into this, who done it? Who done it, Dave? Well, I can tell you who didn't do it. It wasn't a fully functional, official government action. This was a private action. A private action in which some military contractors used equipment they manufacture for the U.S. government, mainly airborne platforms that can destroy people, kill people, destroy structures at temperatures of 300 or 3,000 degrees or better. And it was a partnership between this private enterprise and the government of the state of Hawaii. The good thing for the Biden administration is they were able to keep their hands clean until the end. Congress has conveniently stayed out of it until my audience and other audiences of other broadcasters started pushing Congress to do something. Well, they are doing something. They're helping to cover it up. They're blaming the electric company, and you're going to learn in this presentation why that's a fallacy. And then finally, we'll talk about the children and the cover-up of the Department of Education, They're clearly covering up because no one can have that much depraved indifference towards large number of kids. And there hasn't even been a reasonable answer put forth about where are the kids. Now, I think there's 2,400 missing kids. I think the Department of Education is lying, and they say, oh, no, we got it down to 983, and that's the last thing we're going to say about it. That's a cover-up into itself. So we're going to lay it all out. We're going to talk about the final disposition of the people of Lahaina. We're going to talk about why Dave Hodges believes that, although I don't think I could go into a court of law and prove directed energy weapons, a criminal investigation would quickly uncover it. We'll talk about the attempts to cover up the event by the governor. And clearly there is a cover-up going on. And we have videotaped evidence of the cover-up. And then we'll talk about the final disposition of the people in Lahaina. And this will break your heart. This will totally break your heart. And then finally, we'll look at the end game in terms of damage. Who got burned out and who didn't? And you'll say, my gosh, this just can't be a coincidence. Exactly. And then the final thing we'll conclude with today, and I hope that you're taking this to heart. First they came for the people of Paradise, and no one spoke up. Then they came for the people of East Palestine, and no one spoke up. Then they came for the people of Lahaina, and no one spoke up. And then they came for my community, and there was no one left to speak. We'll be back in just a minute, and we're going to lay it all out for you. Do you have your storable food? I certainly hope that you do, because if you don't, you're going to be out on the streets causing problems, because we are headed for food riots, and it's a foregone conclusion. I want you to go to My Patriot Supply that you can reach at foodwithdave.com, foodwithdave.com. Don't put this off any longer. Great deals are available. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's start with August 8th, shall we? The day of the fire. Hawaii Electric has gotten the blame for this. In fact, they're the victim of a lawsuit from Maui County. But they claim, hey, we turned the power off 6 hours before the fire reached Lahaina. So that leads us to the excuses. And I made a bold statement in the intro that the death count was deliberately driven up. And some people are saying, oh, Dave, you're a little over the top here. Well, I think you should listen to the evidence, because the first three things I'm going to tell you are absolutely not in dispute. Number one, did the siren sound? No, they didn't. Number two, were the exits blocked? Yes, they were. Number three, as the firefighters were mounting a defense against the fire in Lahaina, what happened? Well, the water was turned off. Did the water turn itself off? Oh, no, this was a decision that was made. And let's just start with the warning system, shall we? The sirens did not sound. Well, at the first press conference, the former, and he will retire because of health reasons, Herman Adiah, he said, well, we don't play the sirens anything else but a tsunami. Fire is not included. And people would have run out of their homes and had run up the hill towards the fire, thinking it was a tsunami, and got burned up. Does that even sound logical? But then he doubled down on his stupidity, and he said this. It's the summer, and air conditioners could have been going, and they wouldn't even have heard it. Oh, so you don't try. And not many people have air conditioners in Hawaii for all the obvious reasons. And then, to make matters worse, the governor, two speakers later in his first press conference, doubled down on the, we don't play the sirens, because people would have run up the hill to the fire and got burned up. Really? Really? Why was it on their emergency homepage that sirens are played for every kind of disaster. And they specifically mentioned fire. It was a lie. And they knew it was a lie. And you don't have to go any further to prove there's a cover-up in place. But it gets worse. What happened with the water? They asked the head of the water management on the island the next day, why didn't you supply water from the other system you had access to? Well, we have to have a different relationship with the water, Kaleo Manuel said. And what would that be? Oh, well, water is sacred, and we have to really be careful now. I thought I was listening to a psychobabble New Age explanation from the 1970s reflecting the coming of the age of Aquarius. I never heard such a jackass statement in my whole life. By the way, they took Manuel and they transferred him to another position without advertising it and holding interviews. They wanted him away from the limelight because they couldn't have any more of this New Age stuff and try to maintain any semblance of credibility. And so they illegally put him into another position. And then this leads us to the third issue that day in Lahaina, and that has to do with the police blocking the exits. Oh my goodness gracious, ladies and gentlemen, the police blocking the exits. I just, why would you do this? Now, the morning of, we have video that Lahaina school buses were used to evacuate the people. Who are the people? Oh, not the people of Lahaina, the tourists farther south. And they were running through Front Street at a high rate of speed in a caravan fashion, presumably headed towards the airport. So they couldn't destroy tourism by having tourists burn up now, could they? But 3 hours later, I have counted on video no less than 8 police roadblocks preventing escape from Lahaina. If we didn't have the video evidence, I couldn't say this so boldly, but we have eyewitness testimony after eyewitness testimony after eyewitness testimony. We know for a fact that those exits were blocked. We got the video proof. We have dozens of eyewitnesses, people telling stories of their survival about how they're stuck in a traffic jam on Front Street, can't get out because the exits are blocked. And so they had to abandon their car as the fire came. One guy described the fact I was barefoot that day, and I got third-degree burns on my feet as I climbed over the seawall and headed towards the water. Isn't that interesting? And was there complicit behavior with the military? They were ordered to stand down. It's very clear. These people were in the water. They were calling the Coast Guard and the Navy for help while in the water, and it took 5 hours to rescue them. How many people didn't survive in that water because they didn't get rescued within a half hour, 45 minutes? They could have dispatched helicopters with air-sea rescue. They could have done any number of things that were not done. Those are the three facts that are not in dispute. Those things happen. And I'm not a murderer, so I didn't initially realize why would you turn off the water, not sound the sirens, and block the exits for escape after you had ushered tourists through hours before. It didn't make any sense to me because I'm not a murderer. And then I said, Dave, I know you're baffled. I'm having this internal dialogue, but think like a bad guy if you can. And I started thinking, what did the people of Lahaina say when they were interviewed the only time by mainstream media? They went through the, this happened, how tragic, glad you survived, what's happened to your home, that kind of thing. They went through the tragedy in the interview. But then they said, what do you fear the most going forward? They didn't give typical survival answers. You know what they said? We fear the developers. That would be like the biggest developer on the islands, Keller Williams, who, by the way, their biggest stockholder is BlackRock. Their second biggest stockholder is Vanguard. Stay tuned. We'll be coming back to that. And I thought, my gosh, that's just not a typical survival answer. I heard people of Katrina interviewed, Hurricane Harvey, And I heard all these things, and I thought, I've never heard anything like this before. And as I looked into it, the developers had a long history of trying to cheat the people out of their land. And I literally mean cheat, lowball, undersell, pressure, intimidate. All the allegations from the locals were there. And I thought, I think I understand. If you have six members of a family whose house is burned down, and all six are dead, then the right of survivorship and the right of being an heir and possibly rebuilding would fall to people who live elsewhere. Who's going to fight the developers and the governor and all the crap that he did? And we'll cover that in a minute. Who's going to fight that? They're just going to sell for pennies on the dollar and, you know, lick their wounds and mourn their loss and move on and be glad that at least they got some money out of it. They deliberately wanted to drive up that death count, because if you had three members out of six of a family structure survive, they'd have the right of survivorship to rebuild there, and they would want to. They'd be more likely to dig in and fight. Do you not agree? Do you not agree that would be the case? They drove up the murder rate, people. This is how reprobate we are. We saw the same thing in Paradise. We've seen the same thing in East Palestine. And then when the authorities couldn't get their way in East Palestine, you know what they did? The mainstream media withdrew all coverage. They've done the same thing here, like I said, except for rehabilitating Oprah. Well, let's talk about the actions of the governor, shall we? The people of Lahaina will tell you that they know there are plans to move these people out in the core area of the city. Not the million-dollar homes, but the core area of the city. And they want to build a smart city. Now, the globalists who are behind this, the private entities, did not have their defense bolstered by Jeff Bezos' stupid statement the day after the fire, when he said, you know, I want to donate $100 million and build a smart city where Lahaina was. Oh, brother. Now, all eyes go to the governor on that comment. Let's look at the governor. Did he have any plans to vacate these people and build a smart island? Well, shortly after he's inaugurated to his first term, he goes to the United Nations, and he's the keynote speaker on an Agenda 2030 conference. I've played the video on my YouTube channel, and it's also been on my website. And he is saying, yeah, the islands are fully committed to smart cities, 2030 sustainable developmental goals. And I thought, uh-oh. So I followed the governor a little more. And as we got closer to the event, right before the event, he came out with a proclamation. It'd be like an executive order that Biden does illegally. He's not supposed to be allowed to do. He can't make laws. He's the enforcer of the laws, not the maker. Well, Josh Green doesn't realize that distinction about separation of powers either. And he came out and said, although Lahaina is a historically preserved site, they got special protections under the law if they have that designation. But if there's a natural disaster, we'll have to rezone the land. He said that days before the event. And let's go back to January then. They've scrubbed the event off of the website. But they, under the emergency land management group, they had an overlay sale back in late January. $750 million to Lahaina to build 51-acre homes. That's quite a spread on the beach. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. They made a land deal that overlaid the existing property. What did they know was going to happen? Exactly. And then the governor, shortly before the fire, was again at the United Nations espousing the virtues of smart islands. But the day this happened, and the day after it happened, the governor said, those allegations about smart islands, no, that's just not true. You're listening to too much social media. You know what conspiracy theories go on over at social media. We just can't have that, and you just shouldn't listen to them. And it's interesting because on September 25th, so now we're, you know, what, almost 5.5, 6 weeks out from the incident. The state of Hawaii officials had a meeting, and it was largely about two things. They will never use the term central bank digital currency, and they didn't use the term smart island. But what they did do was they had a disclaimer about the meeting at the top of their memorandum meeting page. It was publicly posted. And it said, rumors to the effect that Maui is going to be turned into a smart island, blah, 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 are just simply untrue, associated to conspiracy theories of, you know, social media. And that's effectively, it's a paraphrase, but it's effectively what it said. And then when you go through the meeting memorandum agenda, oh boy, this is interesting. I read the agenda's key parts. I read it on YouTube. And what I read were projects for renewable energy. Well, that's Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030, smart cities. Expanded bike paths, expanded walkways, more mass transit, no cars. Okay, condensed opportunities to do all the things you want to do. That's 15-minute cities. You see, you don't have to call an elephant for it to actually be an elephant. You can call it a kangaroo, but it's still an elephant. And so they go through this entire meeting agenda describing all these sustainable developmental goals, which are part of this, after they just denied it at the top of their memorandum page. And then they did something really interesting. They showed us that CBDC will be in Hawaii very soon. They described how they were taking the computers, and they said, well, they're terribly outdated. That was their excuse, okay? Is that why you burned down the homes, Governor? Anyway, they took the financial computers and said they're spread too far and wide. We need to have a centralization effort. So the plan is, they were talking about how they're going to lay out all financial computers for the state under one mainframe control. That's what you'd have to do if you had CBDC. But if I said that at this point, I'd only have a suspicion. But one of their speakers was a digital currency reform expert. Why don't you just say central bank digital currency? So not only are they going to turn the islands, all of them eventually, but start with Maui, into a smart island, complete with all those sustainable development goals, they are going to put in CBDC across the islands. This is the beta test for the complete takeover of a community by any means possible. And you're saying, Dave, this is horrible. Well, you haven't heard all of it yet. Next, we'll talk about the cover-up. In the area of cover-up, there's a couple of significant events that I want to bring to everyone's attention. This was ran by Hawaii News Now, then someone thought better of it, and they had it scrubbed. Fortunately, there are some people that saved this particular video that ran on local media on television. And what it was the EPA removing topsoil from Lahaina to a gun range about 10 miles from the town, and they were converting the dirt in the trucks that trucked in the topsoil into 55-gallon drums for, quote, distribution to the mainland to unnamed locations. This is called evidence tampering, and the EPA is guilty of a crime. And the people that gave the EPA the ruling to do this should be found guilty of a crime. This is interference in a crime scene. Now, what we know for sure, what we absolutely are sure of, is that if there were directed energy weapons used, and I think there's a good case that can be made for that, and we'll cover that later, thermite and high levels of radiation would have been present in the soil. So why else would they move the dirt? They did the same thing in Paradise, where it's believed by many investigators that directed energy weapons were used there. But this is not the only cover-up. This next cover-up gets a little bit complicated. And it took me a while to come to this conclusion, but I can see no other explanation. I used to conclude nearly every broadcast by get on Congress's case. Why aren't they there with relief money? We send $6 billion to a terrorist nation of Iran, untold billions to Ukraine, and virtually nothing for Maui. Yeah, so much for America first, right? And I said, get on Congress's case. Why is there congressional neglect? Well, I think they heard us, and they did something really interesting. So let me start at the beginning and build the case that Congress is clearly involved in the secondary cover-up. This is just absolutely, excuse me, over the top with regard to what I'm going to tell you. Congress spends over a month ignoring these people, ignoring them totally. Their reaction was just as bad as Joe Biden's no comment about Maui. And all of them should be held accountable, including the sacred cows of Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the rest. They should be held in extreme contempt for their ignoring the fate of these people and clearly what was a cover-up. Now, the county of Maui sued Hawaii Electric. They even said in the lawsuit, well, you know, your green policies, I can't believe they actually criticized climate change, but your green policies added to the disaster. Well, no, it didn't. They actually, what's interesting is they actually did shut off the power 6 hours before the fire reached Lahaina. Now, they're still alleging they're culpable. They might be. I don't have information to evaluate that part of it. But here's what I do know. Congress has called the executives of Hawaii Electric to a joint energy commerce subcommittee meeting. And what they seem to be really concerned about, other than their woke green policies, is the fact that they had a utility truck blocking an exit, preventing escape. I say, au contraire, mon frere, I've seen the videotaped evidence of blocked exits. I have found 8 instances where police were blocking exits. I found one where Hawaii Electric and a utility truck asked to come there by the mayor to clean up a down power line. They blocked one half of the road. Clearly, traffic could have been routed around from what I saw. And additionally, too, this is really telling. You had workers approaching down power lines. You wouldn't do that if they were active. They clearly weren't active. But see, Congress is only asking Hawaii Electric why they blocked part of an exit. And they're not asking the police chief why he blocked 8 exits that we know of. Why? And that leads us into why are they doing all this? Okay, BlackRock, you have to remember, is the major investor into Keller Williams, the major developer that will play the key role in whatever Lahaina becomes. Also, BlackRock is the major stockholder for Hawaii Electric, 19.5%, 8.5% respectively. You're saying, my gosh, they're playing both ends against the middle. That's exactly right. Now, Maui County will eventually win an out-of-court settlement. The case against Hawaii Electric is fairly weak. Even if they were culpable in some wrongdoing in the beginning, they were responsible and turned the power off. They did not block the exits and prevent escape. But what will happen is the Lahaina residents are beginning to organize, and they're going to sue. And they're going to sue in state court. And what will happen is a corrupt Hawaii judge will enjoin the lawsuits into one lawsuit, and the county of Maui will settle out of court for pennies on the dollar, and BlackRock is fine to take that hit because they're going to make a mint off being the major stockholder behind the major developer in Lahaina, and that will be Keller Williams. And so these people in Lahaina will get pennies on the dollar, and as all agreements like this, they'll be forced to sign a non-disclosure, and this issue will be formally over. I have advised the Hawaiian indigenous elders that I've spoken with that they need to launch federal land rights suits under their indigenous privileges granted under the law, and that would be a federal civil rights issue, and no judge could enjoin those lawsuits. So far, I think that my advice has fallen on deaf ears. And how do I know this? Because I went through an 8-year land battle with the McCain Mafia. That's how I know this. And you're saying, well, Dave, do you really learn these lessons? Some of them were done to us. And then as I was called in as a consultant to other people fighting land rights battles, I saw these tactics in use constantly. And as I read about case studies, you know, past judicial decisions, as any lawyer would do with his case, and I served along with Mike Robbins, his de facto lawyers for our people, because every time we'd get a lawyer, the McCain people would come down on him and they'd say, well, our partners have gotten squeamish. They want to be judges. He might be president someday. So we've got to do this. So I got a real education in this, and I can tell you that's how this is going to be settled. These people in Lahaina are going to be bundled up, and if they don't go into federal court, they're going to be bundled up and shipped off to the Big Island, and that's actually what Tulsi Gabbard and BJ Penn know. They said so on Joe Rogan. I have been saying this all along, too. And James O'Keefe caught the governor on tape basically saying, we're time to move the people. We'll have to rezone the land. We'll build a monument. Those are the words that were recorded by James O'Keefe. So this is a cover-up. It's very well orchestrated. BlackRock is playing both ends against the middle here. And they'll have a lot to say about when to settle being the major stockholder for Hawaii Electric, but also standing on the ready to pounce on Lahaina for development. So I'm hoping you're able to follow that intricate explanation, but it is indeed part of the cover-up. And they never really figured out that, they never counted on the fact that I would come along and present this scenario out there. And guys, it's not that I'm that smart. I've lived this. And because it's my life experience, this is why I felt I could help these people in Lahaina. But I'm not, let's put it this way. I have the attention of some of the locals, and there's a couple of lawyers who are beginning to become active. And I think they will figure out exactly what I've said. And I'm hopeful that a federal lawsuit, or 10 or 20 or 100, will be filed. So that, in a sense, is the cover-up. And then the other part of the cover-up is the governor continually says, oh, it's conspiracy theory, social media nonsense, that we want to turn Maui into a smart island and do that to all the islands. Well, I've told you, I have reams of documentation, some of them from the state websites, some of them from ancillary websites. We got the governor on tape at the UN not once but twice saying the same thing. They have 65 renewable energy projects, which is all smart city sustainable developmental goals related, and there's a map on that, and that includes all the islands. So this is the hill to die on, because we need to meet this takeover, because see, what they want is for all of us to be in stack and pack cities. And what I mean by stack and pack cities, they want to force you off your suburban home. They want to force you out of your farms. There's all kinds of things I've already talked about on YouTube. But not, you know what? I probably should do a show here and review what I have found. But they're actively trying to move you into densely populated small micro apartments with your families where you'll own nothing and be happy. And this is ultimately what the goal is here, ladies and gentlemen. But this is off the charts. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about is the fate of the children. This, to me, is the most egregious thing going on. But, and then we'll conclude, was it directed energy weapons? We'll do both of those before we close out the day. Okay, let's move into another area that I think it's important that the public know about. The Lahaina area schools had 3,001 child in attendance at the time that the fires hit. Okay? And I say fires. And the evidence when we talk about dew weapons, I think, will pretty much illustrate that. Now, initially, they had 400 children enroll in other school districts. They had 200 children go online. And, you know, I've been going crazy on YouTube, and I've been going crazy on my website, on my show. I've mentioned this here with other guests. And I said, okay, where are the 2,400 children that are missing? And there's been a ton of theories about this. And I hate to use the word conspiracy theory because the children are somewhere. They're dead, they're in hiding, or they've been put in bondage. I mean, there's a number of possibilities, and I honestly don't know. But I had my audience repeatedly contact authorities, hold their feet to the fire. Where are the children? I even got a graphic made up. I used it to headline two of my stories on Maui. So where are the 2,400 kids? No answers. I mean, there's answers. I saw a video. This guy says, there are the Lahaina buses, school buses there on this military base, undefined. This could have been in Afghanistan for all I know, and I couldn't tell they were buses. They were too far off. They were yellow, but I couldn't make out shapes. So I can't say that that's true. Oh, they're in tunnels being held as captive for sex trafficking. This is going to be the new Epstein Island. That may be true. But we don't know where those tunnels were, and we didn't see any kids in the photo. I mean, you got to go what you can reasonably prove to be true. What I know is they're missing. And what I know also, too, is the state lied. They first said, and the early reports are always the most accurate because it's before the bad guys, the purveyors of the false flag, get control of the narrative. And what we heard initially is there were kids that were at the school that were sent home. Well, I did some research really early on, and I found of the three major schools, and I've done this in depth on YouTube. One school was in session on August 7th, day before the fire. One other school was open the day of the fire. And the other school wasn't set to open until the 9th. So we got approximately two-thirds of the kids here, okay? Maybe around 1,600 kids, for example, that we need to account for. But there's still 800 missing from the other school. Actually, I think it's 700 and something. Anyway, so where are they? We don't know. They said they were released in the media early on. Let me tell you how I know that's a bunch of bull. In my old days, when I was a high school teacher and I was on committees for bus evacuation or shelter in place, these are FEMA DHS regulations. Federal law backs it up. State law in all 50 states says that when you are supervising children, particularly in an emergency, you must maintain line of sight supervision. So I guarantee you these kids were not sent home by the school administrators. If anything happened to a child, they could be criminally prosecuted. They also would lose their jobs for not maintaining line of sight. They could be prosecuted in that manner too. And of course, there would be the civil lawsuits from the parents if anything happened to their children. They did not release these kids. Now, I'm not saying the kids weren't released. I'm saying I think it might be possible that the governor or the police chief or some person in a position of authority said release the kids. Now, I got to tell you, I've talked to a lot of administrators, and I'll tell you what my view would have been. If I was in charge and someone said to me, release the kids, I'll say, no, I will not. We're going to shelter in place unless we can be assured that we can bust these kids out and have them be safe. Otherwise, we're sheltering in place and we're calling for assistance. If you want them released, you come here and I'm going to make sure the media is here to hear you give the order, governor or police chief or Herman Adiah, whoever the hell you were. I just have a hard time believing that happened. I really don't. And now they've tried to change their story and said none of the kids were in attendance. They all had work days and they weren't scheduled to start until the 9th. That's a lie. I saw the websites. They've scrubbed the websites now of this information, but I saw it with my own eyes. There's missing children. And no one will talk about it. And here's what's really interesting with John Peltier. As I've mentioned, he was the police chief, or is, and also is the coroner, and he can control the body count. I really doubt that he wants to oversee, after overseeing the investigation, which is the biggest loss of life for a mass shooting in American history, does he want to be the same? I'm telling you, there's people in Maui right now, Lahaina. These casualty counts could be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. This is what a lot of the locals believe, too. There's a lot of unaccounted people for it. One time they had the amount up to 115 people. Now they've lowered it to 85. I mean, what did we have, 30 resurrections? I mean, do they think we don't pay attention? And so this is bogus, and Peltier should be prosecuted, and so should the mayor, for allowing him to hold two positions in opposition to each other, which is illegal. But we're not going to see that. Why? Because the fix is in. The same reason that the head of water, Herman Adiah for the sirens, and Peltier for the roadblocks that trap people in, that's criminal negligence. Okay, that's criminal negligence, and we're not even seeing an investigation into that. That's because this is one big cover-up. And as I told you before, the governor said, oh, it's a historically preserved site until there's a natural disaster, then we'll rezone. That's what's going on here. And on YouTube, I did cover the fact that these people are getting a forbearance. In other words, they have 90 days of grace period to begin paying on their property. But their 90 days doesn't begin day one of payment. The whole thing plus interest is due on the 90th day. These people are screwed. They're forced to pay to live somewhere else, and they're forced to also pay on their property. And meanwhile, where are the parents with the kids? And can you tell me something? Have you ever seen a disaster where people didn't gather in a vigil, and they didn't have teddy bears and candles and crosses? Have you ever seen that not happen? Where are the parents and the missing kids? I mean, this is like a Twilight Zone mystery. This is just downright bizarre. It truly is. And the people in the banks that could forgive these loans for these parents and these community members, well, that's First Bank of Hawaii, and guess who the major stockholder is? You got it. It's BlackRock. So we still don't know where the kids are. The Department of Education came out in response to all the pressure we were generating and said, well, we have an update on the figures. And they started to proceed to talk to us about the figures. And they've updated, I have no idea if they're true, but they have it down now to 983 missing kids. They don't tell you that. You have to do the math yourself with their statement. 983 missing kids. And they said 463 families have been unresponsive. Okay, I'm not sure how all this works out to a final count for the missing kids, but what I can tell you is they're not forthcoming. They tried to invoke FERPA. Now, they didn't mention it by name, but they said, well, we've narrowed the numbers down so much. I don't call 983 narrowing down the numbers so much. But they said if we say any more, it'll expose the identities of kids who might be missing or dead or whatever. And that would be a violation of their privacy rights. Incorrect. The state of Hawaii, under the governor, has already published the names and a photo of two children that were recovered. FERPA law does not apply here. Otherwise, you couldn't walk into Walmart and you could not find pictures of missing kids on their billboard next to the bathrooms. And that's true in so many places. FERPA doesn't apply here. How do I know? Because I've taught at two colleges and a university, undergrad and graduate, and I had to take FERPA classes. I had to pass a test in FERPA. So they are totally misapplying it because they said there'll be no more release of information. It's a response to pressure to get people like me to shut up, but they're not going to give any more information. The children is the most disgusting, inexcusable event that's happened in this whole thing. Now, finally, I'll conclude with this. What about the directed energy weapons? Were they in use? I can't prove that in a court of law, but I can tell you this. I've seen Eric West videos when he came across two sets of cars. And what I saw was the effect of something that had to be about 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit to melt metal. Melt metal. Yeah, it did. And even the police chief admitted we might not find all the bodies because it melted metal. That's about 2,500 to 3,000 degrees. The wildfires burn at 1,472 degrees. There's a little discrepancy, isn't there? And you may have seen Eric West's video when he came across two cars. The burn pattern was so symmetrical that it corresponded to the outline of the sidewalk on a cul-de-sac in a reverse bottom of the figure eight. Yeah, that's what you see. And then on the other side of the cars, you see a right angle turn, and then you see the fire, the burn pattern going right up to the block fences of really nice homes. And you see this repeatedly in now the flyovers over Lahaina. $1 million homes preserved. the poorer people in Lahaina, the middle, lower middle, okay, subsidized housing, worker housing, they're all destroyed. But very few of the millionaire homes did not get touched. And not only did they not get touched, they weren't all equipped with blue roofs, which is a prevailing thought. But I'm telling you, with the two cars that Eric West showed, I saw pit marks in the ground that looked like shots were fired at these cars. The pit marks. And then there's another location where he came across a car showing the same kind of deal. And there's vegetation growing all around the car. So this was a targeted fire. This wasn't a progressive fire. There's also people who've told me that entire blocks went up at the same time. And the governor even alluded to this too. Oh, it kind of all blew up at once. Well, he's right. He's not very smart about the way he expresses things, because Virginia Farver, I'm going to have her on later this week. Virginia Farver actually won a court case, I believe it was against the FCC, and that when temperatures are hot enough, your smart meters, if the energy's still on in the house, will turn into an incendiary device. And that would explain a lot of the blowing up of these homes. The people in Paradise whose homes survived turned off the power, and their smart meters did not blow up. So I think this was a combination of two weapons, and this should be thoroughly investigated because of the irregular patterns. And I also think it was a private operation. I don't think the government had anything to do with it. Biden seemed legitimately surprised when he was asked about Maui casualties, and he goes, no, no comment. He didn't know. I can tell you right now, you look at his body language, he did not know. And I think this is totally a private operation. Probably the manufacturers, the Dew weapons were involved, clearly. And certainly the developers, the governor and stuff, they're just all too happy to take advantage of this as they build their little smart island. And despite their denials, people, I have done, I'd say no less than a dozen videos where I've produced documents that show the plans for Maui's smart island concepts, the renewable projects, the bike paths, doing away with the cars, the whole nine yards. I've shown it all. Right here on the Common Sense Show, especially on our YouTube channel and on our webpage. This was, in my humble opinion, a mass murder designed to get people what they wanted. And what did the people say after the fire the day after, as I mentioned? Remember what I told you they said? We're afraid of the developers. Well, it's already happening. Developers, despite the governor's promise not to let this happen, the developers are already coming in lowballing with cash offers. And these people are going to lose because they will. So a lot of them will have hazard insurance. It only protects them so long. Their insurance settlement may give them enough to pay off the mortgage, but they're not going to be able to afford to rebuild. They'll be gone. And Keller Williams and all the other developers and First Bank of Hawaii, BlackRock, major investor in both of them, will get to swoop in, and they'll be able to build Lahaina in the image they want. And eventually, the entire Hawaiian island chain is going to fall to this. And I'm going to say this to you, and this is why you need to share this broadcast. We are doing some things behind the scenes to try to help legally. We have a tall hill to climb. We truly do. And I don't know that the odds are in our favor, but if we can gain favor with God and he sees this as worthy and this is in his plan, well, then we might be able to win. But I want to say this very, very clearly. Okay? First, they came for Paradise. And no one said anything. Then they came for East Palestine. No one said anything. Then they came for Maui. And no one said anything. And soon, they're going to come for your community. And there's going to be nobody left to speak. And this is what you need to be motivated by right now. You should be fearful. And this is why I've said that the hill to die on is located in Lahaina. We need to fight like hell for these people, because these concepts and getting you off your land at any cost and get you into stack and pack urban area ghettos with 15-minute cities and smart cities, this is their master plan. It's underway. I've covered it in detail. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's underway as we speak. And getting involved in the fight for Maui, getting involved in the fight for the people of Lahaina to get justice, is the first step in protecting your own property. Have you noticed what's happened to the price of gas? It's how they're going to get people in the suburbs. I mean, gas, what's it going to go to? $10, $12, $15 a gallon, right? There's regulations mandating electric cars, outlawing gasoline cars. They're moving you to the inner city, smart city concept. Okay, they may not burn you out like they did in Maui, but they're going to get you out unless we stand up. And right now, that battle is being waged in the Hawaiian Islands, particularly in Lahaina. And I'm asking everyone to share this broadcast far and wide. We need to raise awareness, because when it's time to raise money for legal defense funds, we are there at the ready to do this. These people thought they were just going to slam dunk this, and they weren't counting on what we've done to expose their evil deeds. Help me help you by helping the people of Lahaina. This is Dave Hodges, and we'll see you back here at the next broadcast. God bless all of you.